I'm not used to being bigged up. I'm used to being in the shadows doing stuff quietly. So that's why I'm prematurely gray. Anyway, praise God. Well, it's good to be here. I really appreciate your pastors and allowing me to be here and to do this and to talk to you guys and to encourage you in whatever it is that you're doing for the kingdom. I think, you know, we're all in it together, and we all have a job to do, and we all have a part to play. And you know, if you're walking the planet, then God's got your number, and God wants you to be match fit, and that's the bottom line. There's, you know, there's no, for me, there is no such thing as a bench warming Christian. You know, you're in the wrong place if you think that you got saved just to sit and watch other people do it. God wants you in amongst it and doing it. So I wanted to say thank you to Pastor Paul and Kerry and the invite and the privilege of being here. And just a little bit about myself. I know he gave that whole big spiel, but hey. I grew up as a missionary kid in Pakistan. My mum and dad, I was born in London, but I went out when I was 2 months old, came back when I was 18. So I didn't like coming back to England. I thought this was a dreadful place to live. I enjoyed Pakistan. I enjoyed Asia. And I speak 3 Asian languages. And, of course, that helps if you're a cop in a country that has a lot of Asians. And it's pretty good. So it's fun. But that's where I grew up. So I know what Pakistan's like. It is Dodge City, you know. And it was, but for me, it was great. But the school, the missionary school that I went to, was attacked by Al-Qaeda, and several of the people were killed and shot and killed, but none of the kids. And the church that my mum and dad pastored in Islamabad was attacked one Sunday morning by suicide bombers, and we lost a few friends that day. So it's pretty real, this stuff, to me. You know, it's not a game. We have to be aware that whatever God is doing, whatever God wants to do through us, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's his mandate. And the thing is that, you know, I am not devil-focused. I'm not looking at what the devil's doing or what the devil's not doing, because as far as I'm concerned, he's under my feet. God is in me, and you know, whatever I can do because the power and the anointing of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, gives me and equips me and gives me everything I need in Christ to be able to kick his butt. And the attitude that we need to adopt is not that we are under, but we're over. You know, and we're the head, not the tail. We're above, not beneath. We're blessed coming in. We'll be blessed going out. As Pastor was preaching just a minute ago, we are blessed. We are supposed to be blessed. God wants to bless us because we're his kids, but for us to be a blessing. You know, it's not for us to, oh, thanks very much, and just go wealthier, wealthier, wealthier. It's about us being able to, you know, out of the overflow, out of the abundance of what we've got, for people to turn around and see, what have you got that I haven't got? What does the world bring and give me that actually, even though I've got it all, I actually feel as though I've got nothing? And I keep wanting to get more of stuff, more of money, more of this and that and the other, and yet there's still an emptiness, still a shallowness in my life. And the fact is that Christ says, if you have me, you have everything. Amen. And if you seek me and seek the kingdom of God, he will give all these things and he'll add it to you. But let me tell you something. It's not a quick fix thing. It is a walk and a relationship with God, because God wants you to prosper as your soul prospers. That means that you have to do it in balance, so that when you're actually operating in balance, guess what happens? You don't end up cracking up. You know, people win the lottery and within 6 months they've blown the lot. And they've ended up getting banged up. They've ended up something happening. They've ended up doing all sorts of things. They haven't got a dime to rub together again. And yet they were, what, you know, 52 million they've won or whatever it is. And actually, why is that? No character. They haven't got the character to sustain what it is. Whereas God wants you to have character. He wants you to have balance. And that's what it's all about. But today I want to just say one or two things. Let's turn in your book in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Last book of the Bible. Well, a lot of this stuff hasn't happened yet. You know that, don't you? So I find it really intriguing. But if we turn to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. And it says, if you go to the second part of verse 12, it says this. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Right? So the thing is, if you stick an animal in the corner and you're threatening that animal and he knows what's going to happen ultimately, he's going to come out fighting. He's not going to actually just sit back and let you do whatever you want to do. And the devil, let's face it, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He hates everything that God has created, everything about people, because God loves people. And he wants everything that God wants. He wants the opposite. So he wants to destroy everything. And the point is that we have to enforce the victory that Christ gave us, that you should have life and have life abundantly. Not only that we have abundant life, but that also we enforce the devil's defeat in order to set people free from the captivity that they're in. Yep. And everybody, you included, are in captivity to something this morning. There is something in your life that is part of your life that has been either inherited through a generational curse of some description, or has been adopted into a thinking that is not or is contrary to the word of God. But there is something that God is wanting to do in your life that wants to change it, for you to be broken out of that mindset, to be for you to be broken free from that, and in order for you to live in victory. That's the point. And so when other people, when all of a sudden your testimony will be to someone else who's in that situation, I was there, but now I'm free because Jesus did this. Yeah. All right? And you're in a position then to help them, because you're in a position to actually be the testimony that they need to hear in order for you to be set free from whatever it is you're needing to be set free from. And I want to encourage you just a little bit this morning. I want you to realize that even though the devil's got this on, but let me just talk about Lazarus, because I think the story of Lazarus is great. I really laugh about Lazarus. And you know, and everybody says, oh, Jesus wept. Jesus, for me, Jesus was not weeping because Lazarus was dead. Mm-hmm. All right? You'll hear loads of pastors say, oh, Lazarus was dead. Jesus wept. You know, and that's the shortest verse in the Bible. And they said, oh, it's because he was, because Lazarus. No, Jesus actually didn't rock up very quickly. He knew Lazarus was dying. Everybody told him. And he actually made a statement. He said, well, yeah, but, you know, I'm not worried. He didn't, I mean, it wasn't very far away where he was. And he didn't race down there. He waited 4 days to rock up to his best friend. And by the time he actually got there, the guy was 4 days dead. Right? And then he saw it. The whole point of that story was that he was trying to impart to those people that I, Jesus, am the resurrection and the life. Not that there's a resurrection coming, but if you have me, you have the resurrection power of Jesus in your life. The very thing that raised Jesus from the dead is inherently in your life, because the Holy Spirit is in your life. And the fact that you can actually, the point is that you and I should be able to actually raise other people from the dead, because that very resurrection power that Jesus had is in me to do the same. Right? And that's the whole deal. And I think it's great when Jesus shouts out, he says, Lazarus, come forth. If Jesus hadn't named him, the whole graveyard would have rocked up and come out. You know, that's the power we're talking about. He was very specific that he only wanted Lazarus to come forth, right? And when Lazarus came forth, if you look, he comes out of darkness into light. He comes out of death into life. And then he turns around to the people there. He says, loose his bandages. You know, he came out like that mummy, you know, wrapped up. But there's bandages. You and I get born again. You and I get set free. But we still have bandages from the world. Mm-hmm. We still have garbage that holds us back. We still have garbage that wraps around our head where we can't see straight, or things that are happening that God wants to set you free from. And God, if you notice, Jesus said to other people, loose his bandages. That's what we're supposed to be doing for each other and for the world. We are supposed to be God's hands to loose other people's bandages. We are the ones that God has chosen for whatever reason. You think, why me? Why was I selected? I've been a loser. I've done this. I've done that. I've done the other. Yeah, we've all got a track record that we're perhaps not very proud of. But the point is, I can be proud now because I'm in Christ. Yeah. Whatever I've done can be put into a package that God will use for His glory, for my blessing, yeah, and for other people to be set free. Because there's not a single one of us here or anywhere who can throw a stone at each other and say, I'm better than you. We're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And God gives us an opportunity to be winners, to live as winners, and to create winners. And that's what we need to do. So very quickly, if you flip over, let's have a quick little talk here. Whether you like it or not, you know, we are at war with the devil. You can see stuff that's going on in society, all the shocking stuff that that gets peddled in front of you every single day on mass media. You know, abortions, divorces, fornications, adulteries, violence, drugs, alcohol, denial of religious freedoms, war, many other everyday occurrences, you know, speaking of our culture, which is in crisis around the world. Mm-hmm. And we're part of it. We're here for such a time as this. Yep, yep. We weren't put here for such a time as when Jesus was walking around. We were here, chosen as disciples, for this generation, mm-hmm, for this time. And it's incumbent upon us to step up. For us to actually play our part and say, Lord, count me in. Whatever it takes, I'm doing it. So that's where I want to encourage you today. And I've got 6 points that I just want to run with you. And the first one is always begin from a position of victory. All right? Now, these points are basically to do with being a prayer warrior. And to do with being an actual warrior for Christ. But always begin from a position of victory. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We're not seated in stains. We're seated spiritually in heavenly places in Christ. If you're a born-again believer, that is your spiritual positioning. Amen? Because if you take my Bible and you stick yourself in there, this is you, you're in Christ. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. When God looks at me, He just sees Christ, 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 Christ. He doesn't see the old Richard. He sees the born-again, spirit-filled, on fire for Christ, Richard. That's the one He sees because He sees Christ. That's the one. So whenever I screw up, whenever I make a mistake, whenever I sin, I can go to Him knowing that He is faithful and just to forgive me instantly. Yeah, yeah. Instantly. Not tomorrow, not next week, but instantly. In order to get me back on track. Because I'll tell you why. We get far too complacent about our sin sometimes, I think. When we sin, go to God. Don't go and wait and feel sorry for yourself and lick your wound, saying, I dropped the ball again, I dropped the ball again, I dropped the ball again. Yes, you did. But rock up in front of Jesus, get it sorted out straight away. Yeah, but my emotions and my feelings don't really feel that way. And I feel really bad and I feel really... Yeah, that's called condemnation. But we haven't got condemnation. We have a conviction in our spirit that brings us back to Jesus to lay it at His feet and say, sorry. And the thing is, here's what amazes me. Whenever I screw up, I turn up in front of Jesus and I say, Lord, I'm sorry, I did it again. I actually dropped the ball again, the same thing I did yesterday or the day before. And He says, what are you talking about? You see, because when we confess our sin genuinely from our heart, He is faithful to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. Why is that? Because He feels the pain of our sin. He paid for the pain of our sin. He feels that pain. He doesn't want to keep feeling that pain. So when you rock up, He wants to get rid of that pain because He paid for the pain. Right? We do the sin, but He feels the pain of the sin. We do too sometimes because we end up getting burnt. But the point is that He actually paid for it and He knows what it's like. And the other thing is that He also knows that if He doesn't forgive you straight away, it puts you into a position of compromise that the devil can actually slam dunk you. And He doesn't want His son or His daughter in a potentially compromising position. He wants to get you out of harm's way immediately. And He is faithful to forgive it immediately. And He then chooses to remember it no more. So when you rock up and say, I've done it again, Lord, I'm sorry, I've done it again. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. He says, done what? What do you mean? Done what? What have you done again? Because I forgot what you did. Mm-hmm. I buried it under the blood. Mm-hmm. right? You get a bit of dirt in your eye. Have you ever noticed? I mean, when you play sport and you get a bit of dirt in your eye, everything stops. You stop. You can't do anything. Wait. You get half a dozen people all looking for this tiny little bit of grit in your eye. The whole game stops. And finally, you get this little bit of grit, which has totally paralyzed your life for the last 10 minutes, right? And everybody else's life because, oh, he's got a bit of grit in his eye. And you finally get this grit and you look at it for a split second, you flick it on the floor and you crack on. Am I right?
Yep.
How many of you go in search of that little bit of grit to have another look at it? None of you. No one. None of us have done. That's exactly what Jesus does with your sin. He does not look at it again. He does not reflect upon it again because he's paid for it. It's under the blood. He doesn't go searching for it and parade it and have another look. As soon as you've confessed it, he cleanses you, cleanses your eye, takes it out, and it's gone. And I want you to remember that every single time. Don't let the devil hound you and tell you that you're a loser or that you're a sinner. Yes, we are sinners, but we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Yes, we are people who screw up. Yes, we do that time and time and time again. But God is faithful. It's not based on whether I'm faithful or not. It's based on whether God's faithful to me. And his word is truth. And that's what sets me free. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ, far above principalities and powers. The devil is under Jesus' feet. And even if you're the toe or the sole of Jesus' foot, the devil is still under you. You are still bossing that situation. You are still over him. He will try and convince you otherwise, but he is a liar. Don't fall with that. You are in a position of victory. You are spiritually seated at the right hand of God. That is where you are seated. That's where your purpose is. You can look at it from the perspective of where God looks at it from. Whenever the devil lies to you, you tell him he's a liar, you tell him to back off, and you get on with doing what God's called you to do. Number two, don't wait for a special burden to get involved in spiritual warfare. How many people turn around and say, oh, I don't know what I'm called to do, I don't know what I'm doing? And the Bible doesn't say if you pray, it says when you pray. God has an expectation that as a relationship person with him, that you're going to talk to him. That's what relationship is all about. If you renege on a relationship, it means you just stop talking with people. You just stop communicating with that person. Backsliding is part and parcel of that. If you backslide, if you don't actually consciously make an effort to speak to God on a regular basis, it's effectively that relationship doesn't get nurtured very far. Amen? One of the best ways, obviously, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the
Word
of God. If you're not spending time in the Word of God, it's very difficult for your faith to grow. Right? It's not going to happen. I'm going to use one of these little things. Everybody is born with a portion of faith. If this is a portion of faith, if everybody is born with a cup portion of faith, every single one of us has the same, regardless of where you come from, including, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus himself. Because God is no respecter of persons. Jesus would not have had more faith than the rest of us. He would have had the same faith because God would not treat Jesus differently as a man than the rest of us. Right? Otherwise, it's a cop-out. Otherwise, he's got a head start on the devil, and when he was actually coming here to give the devil a good kicking, the devil would turn around and say, well, hang on, that's not fair. That's cheating. You're God. Of course you're going to nail me. No, Jesus, there had to be a potential that Jesus would mess up. There had to be a potential for Jesus to sin. There had to be a potential for Jesus to fail in some way, shape, or form. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been a fair fight.
Yep.
That's the point. The first Adam, he did fail. He had the same set of circumstances that Jesus did. The only thing, as far as I'm concerned, that the only thing that was different for Jesus than the rest of us was his blood was not tarnished with sin because he was born of a virgin. Right? So Jesus' blood group was pure. My blood group was pure prior to the fall. But since Adam and Eve fell, our blood, because they're our mum and dad ultimately, that lifeblood that was in them became tarnished with sin. Mum and dad have AIDS, baby's going to have AIDS. It's a blood disease. It comes. That's what happens. The baby gets born innocent, but the baby is infected because mum and dad infected that baby. Amen? The only person that didn't have that infection in his blood was Jesus himself. That's why the blood of Jesus is so important. That's why the blood of Jesus was presented by him to his Father for the redemption of our sin. That's why every drop of blood needed to come out of Jesus in order to pay the price, because one drop was good enough for you. And the last thing that Jesus did, if you notice the Roman soldier, they were supposed to break bones. But there was already a prophecy beforehand, hundreds of years before, not a bone will be broken. Right? But they routinely used to break the shin bone of every guy that was being crucified. Why? Because it would immediately give him a heart attack and they would die instantaneously. But the point is, when it got to Jesus, they already thought, hang on, this guy's gone. Oh, well, we better make sure, no point in breaking. Got a spear and jabbed it in his side, and it goes through into the heart and pulls back out again. And the Bible says that blood and then water came out. No more blood left. Job done. Every drop of blood was for somebody, for the redemption of some person. That you and I, God's asking us to unloose their bandages. To step out and unloose their bandages. Okay, pray regularly. Stay in the Word. Make sure that you know exactly what God's asking you to do. Right, number three, remember our weapons are not of this world. That's awesome. I mean, when you pray, you make a difference. There's massive difference to what you can do. When you step out in the things of God from a spiritual perspective, it is a absolutely earth-shaking. You think, well, I don't feel anything. I don't see anything. It's not for whether you feel or see. It's the fact that you know that God's word is truth and God's word will go forth. It will not return to him void. It will achieve and accomplish everything that he destined it to do. Now, you might think, yeah, but I wanted it to happen now. Well, it might not happen now. There is a seed and there's time and there's harvest. A lot of Christians think, oh, look, there's seed time and then there's harvest. No, it's seed, time, and then harvest. Right? Not seed time and harvest time. It's seed, time, harvest. The time factor is the God factor. You don't see farmers laying down seed every time and then pulling up the dirt to see if it's growing and see if anything. No, they let it be, they water it, and they let time take place before the harvest comes in. Now, you and I are in that process somewhere. We're either planting seed, or we're watering in the time factor, or we get to see the harvest of that person's soul.
Come on.
Right? But whether you like it or not, you are playing a part in everybody's life at some stage of that process. That's what you're doing. God is using you to play a role in something. Now, it's always great to be at the harvest time, isn't it? Because you see souls come in and it's absolutely marvelous. Yeah, everybody high fives each other. Yes, fantastic. You know, the devil's lost again. We've kidnapped a bunch of other guys into the kingdom and all that sort of business. It's harder here. And it's harder here because this is the time factor. When Jesus did his first miracle about turning water into wine, the only thing he removed was time from that miracle. The process is the same. Turning water into wine, everybody does every day. If you go down to any vineyard in France or anywhere else, that's the process. Rain, water, grapes grow, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, wine. Right? That's all Jesus did was take out the time factor. Because he's out of time. He was not worried about the time factor. And the point is that neither should we do. We shouldn't be worried about what God's job is. We should be worried about what we're doing for the kingdom. Let's do what we can do. Let's know that we have a seed, we have a word, we have a life, we have an ability to sow ourselves, to sow the word that we know, the understanding that we know, into the lives of people just by relationship, just by loving on them, just by letting them be them, and just by actually getting there and trying to help them get to the next level. Right? That's what we want to do. That's what we continue doing. But just be you. God wired you in a particular way to be an impact to particular people. Just be you. I've got a couple of great mates here who've come from a world that is the opposite to my world. And the point is that some of us cannot relate to people in a particular part of society. Why? Because those people would be hostile to us and vice versa. So God uses people who have already been in that world, who know that world, to go straight back into that world, but from a different perspective, with a different mindset and a different heart, to say, if it happens to me, it can happen to anybody. That's what God's about. You know, police officers, they need your prayer. They're just human beings. They screw up, they have messes, they've got divorce, they've got all sorts of things, everything. It's horrendous. There used to be a system where it was adopt a cop. You know, not take him home and look after him, but actually to just pray for him. I mean, I had a chief inspector who pulled me in one day at Scotland Yard, and he said, hey, this whole prayer malarkey, Rich, he says, it's just a coincidence, isn't it? And I was chatting away to him, and I said, well, I've noticed that the more I pray, the more coincidences tend to happen. But you can put it down to that if you want to. And he goes, and we carried on chatting, and I was quite happy sitting there all day because I wasn't doing anything. I would be happy chatting to him about the Lord all day. And I said, all right, listen, I'm not going to be able to convince you just by talking to you like this. Give me something in your life that I can pray for, and let's see if we can make a coincidence happen. Come on, let's put our money where the mouth is. I'll step out by faith because I know. And he went, go, all right, then you're on. He says, my mum. I said, all right, what about your mum? He says, she needs a double hip replacement. She's in absolute agony. She's been ill for like 6 months, she's on the NHS waiting list, and she just cannot get this double hip replacement. And I really, really, really feel for her. I said, well, all right, what's your mum's name? Eunice. I said, I'll pray for Eunice. I said, is that it? And he said, yeah, that's it. I said, okay, fine. I stepped out of his office, and this is at Scotland Yard, and I said, Lord, I bigged you up in there to my boss. You've got to come through for me. I can't do anything. I can't do anything for Eunice. Yes. That's right. I am not the healer. That's right. Yeah. I am not Jesus. Yeah, but I know you are. And I know you are the healer. And you can come through. And anyway, I was promoting your word, not my word. So you need to rock up to promote your own word and to stand by your own word. Not for me to do it for you. You need to come through. Otherwise, you make me look like a prat. Right? Simple, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty basic. That's the way I think. Anyway, I told him, and I left it with him and said, right, down to you, Lord. Thanks very much. And I carried on. 2 weeks goes past. And you just don't do this sort of thing at Scotland Yard. Very refined Scotland Yard. You don't shout down the corridor. It's just not the done thing. Anyway, he shouts down the corridor. I see him. It's just a coincidence! He shouts out. Right? And I suddenly remembered. What? Oh, yeah. Oh, result then? And he goes, get in my office now. So I go down to the end of the corridor, shut that door. He says, right, don't say anything. He said, when did you pray? I don't want to hear any waffle. When did you pray? I said, the moment I stepped out of your office. What did you say? I said, Lord, I bigged you up in there to my boss. You need to come through for his mum, and you need to sort his mum out. Thanks very much. He said, you spoke to God like that? I said, well, how am I supposed to? Oh, hang on. Oh, dear Father. No, yes, of course I spoke to him like that. Because he's real. I have a relationship with him. I know how he operates. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I said, how's your mum? He says she had a cancellation the next morning. The next morning she got a phone call, got a cancellation. She'd already had one hip replacement and she was waiting to have another one in a few weeks' time. And that's amazing. He goes, no. I said, praise the Lord. Like that, just like that. Praise the Lord. He goes, no, it's just a coincidence. I said, all right, give me another one. We're on a roll. So anyway, bless his heart. But he's in the time. Isn't he? That's a watering time. That's the time he's in. Seed has already been planted. There's a time frame. There is a harvest coming for that man. He is going to get saved because he's looking and searching for the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Right? They all are. Right? They all big it up. They all hard it up. They all try to be macho and stuff like that. But as soon as something goes bent in their life, they call me, Rich, can you pray for me? Rich, can you do this for me? Well, actually, guys, let me tell you something. God actually wants to cut out the middleman. Because God doesn't want me knowing all your dirty laundry. God doesn't want me knowing all the stuff in your life. God wants to deal with your stuff privately so that it doesn't humiliate you and shame you in front of other people, because God's a good God. Amen. He doesn't want to hang it out there for everybody else to see all that stuff and then all of a sudden, you know, deal with it like that. He doesn't want to have to go through an intermediary. The intermediary was Jesus, right? Who is the high priest that you can make every confession that you want to without him exposing you or shopping you to somebody else. That's the thing about God. Anyway, I'm how much time have I got left, Pastor? All right, okay, good. Speak to the problem. Number four, speak to your problem. Don't let your problem... Have you noticed that stuff that's happening in your life speaks to you? You hear it, don't you? It goads you. It taunts you. Plays on your mind constantly. It keeps chattering in the back of your mind. Keeps telling you, yeah, if they only knew what you were really like. If they only knew what kind of person you were really like. You promote yourself, you know, top cop and this and that. Yeah, I'm not top cop. I'm the bottom bottle of the pile. But I'm a top cop for Christ. Amen. Because I might be the only cop Christ has got. I mean, I don't know. There's a few in there. There's one or two in there who need their butts kicked as well as me. You know, but the point is, it's not about rank or status. It's about who you are in Christ. Come on, God's not looking for whether you're the top of the pile or not. God wants your heart. That's what it is. It's not. There's no race, there's no color, there's no creed, there's no wealth or poor or this or that or the other. If you have a heart for Christ, that's what he's looking for. God's moved by faith, not by riches or wealth or color or creed. He's not interested in any of that. He will use those things in order to promote his gospel and his truth to set other people free. Your positioning, yes, I mean, I'm not advocating, all right, don't get promoted, don't do this and don't do the other, just before anybody thinks, oh yeah, I can just sit back and be chilled. No, I'm saying that the more influence that you do have, the better you can be used by the Lord, right? We can go from glory to glory to glory. So worldly promotion is also good promotion for Christ, because if you're top of the chain, you know, with all sorts of different things, God can access at a much higher level. But God wants to access at every level. God wants to, you know, be involved at every level of society with every kind of person. Amen? Because that's the kind of thing that God is. But if you're being spoken to by the enemy today, if you're being goaded, if you're being harassed, just let me say this to you. Mark 11 talks very clearly about the fact that you can speak to the root of something and you can get it destroyed in your life. That you can actually speak. Jesus gave us a very clear indication. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. If you have garbage in your life and you keep saying the same sort of thing, then guess what? The same sort of thing is going to keep happening. Right? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. We are not animals. We do not come from monkeys. There is no monkey as unattractive as I am. There's a lot of very attractive monkeys. So I'm clearly not from a monkey. Right, but I want you to know something very clearly. We are not monkeys. Animals do not have a spirit. They have a soul, and they do things, and they respond to things, and they have feelings and stuff like that. But your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It is not your spirit. Your spirit is something that God has given you because you have a creative force in you, because you are created in the likeness of Christ, because you have a tongue. And you speak life or you speak death over a situation, just like God. Let there be light. Bang. Guess what happens? Light comes. If you take a couple of pot plants, you can try this, a couple of tomato plants, put them in the same room, one at one side and one at the other, and bless one every morning while you're pouring water on it, and curse one every morning while you're pouring water on it. Watch what happens within 3 weeks. Life and death in the power of your tongue. It's not nice for the one you're cursing for 3 weeks. Because it will wither. But if you wanted to do an experiment about whether or not that scripture is true, because you want God to prove himself to you, then let me tell you, that will happen. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. You can see the result of people in whose life you speak goodness and blessing into. You will see them flourish. If you, your pastors do nothing but try to boost you, encourage you, take you to the next step, come on, we can do this, come on, we can do this, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this, let's do that, trying to give a motivation, trying to give you into a situation. And it's great to be submitted to someone, because submission comes not by agreeing with everything that the pastor says. Submission comes, well, I actually don't agree with that, but I know that Christ has got this man in my life or this woman in my life at this particular moment in time, so I'm going to follow him anyway. Mm-hmm. Because that's submission. Because if we're just going along whenever we agree with everything, that's not submission. You're just happy to go along with it. The rubber hits the road when you actually, I'm not sure about that, and yet you still, because you're submitted and because there are things in your life and my life that need to be cut out, that God is sandpapering, it's not comfortable, somebody speaks into your life and you think, I don't like that. It happens everywhere. But if we're truly submitted to the working of God in our life, then we should truly, we should be grounded and rooted in a church. We should make sure that the pastor is match fit, or at least trying to be match fit. You know? Yes, and yes. And then also, the journey should be fun. You know? Because God is a God, and he's a good God. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? And we should be high-fiving each other, complimenting each other on things that we're doing for Christ. That's what we should do. This should be a celebration. Every Sunday morning should be a celebration of all the stuff that's happened out there on the streets where God has moved through you. Yep. And you come to this party every Sunday morning and say, awesome, this is how what happened, and that's what happened, and that's what happened, and that's what happened. And other people, they think, wow, and that's just Richard, mate. I could do better than that. Then do better than that. Step up and do better than that. And then the next week, and we encourage each other in doing good, and then we have our expectation risen because they think, wow, that's amazing, and the expectations increased. Then guess what? Your faith increases, and then more expectation, and then more faith, and then more expectation. And that's how God wants you. Glory, 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 glory. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Good. Speak to the root. Jesus spoke to the root of the fig tree, and he cursed the root. He did not curse the outside, he cursed the root. It did not wither straight away. But as far as Jesus was concerned, he walked away because he knew it was job done. Right? He spoke to that root. 2 days later, they all said, oh, wow, look, that tree that you spoke to is dead. That's right. The issues in your life where the devil is trying to pull you down, trying to cause you, speak to that root. Mm-hmm. Speak to the root of that and say, no, I am the head, not the tail. No, I am blessed coming in and out. No, I am healed. I am delivered. I am set free. Why? Because my Father in heaven said so, loves me so, and wants me to be so. And that's why I'm having it. All right? The next thing, just to wind up here. Don't think, number five, don't think that it takes great amounts of time. Be specific. Be genuine. Be specific. Be direct. Like, I was in that example with the Lord and my boss. Lord, I bigged you up in there. You sort it. What did Mary say to Jesus when he did the first miracle? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And she walked away. Well, woman, it's not my time yet. I mean, he wasn't being disrespectful to his mum, but he was making a point. But she just blanked him. I was going to say something really naughty then, probably like every other woman just blanks you when you say something, but no. But she just turned around and she said, whatever he says, just do it. And so they did, and a miracle happens. Whatever the Lord is saying to you, just do it. Don't argue, just do it. Just get on with it. What God's got his hand on, he will make sure that it comes to completion. He will make sure that you get into a win-win situation. Warfare prayer takes a portion of what you're doing elsewhere. If you're praying for all sorts of other things, pray in terms of warfare, whatever it is that you're engaging in, whatever you want to see victory in, whether it's family people or whether it's other people that you've been evangelizing and stuff like that. You know that if that is on your heart, it's more on God's heart than it is on yours. And if you want that to come to pass, it's a clear indication that God wants that to come to pass, and he's going to make that happen. Yep. And he wants you to cooperate with him in prayer, because he is faithful to that, because you're communicating with him, you're getting into his agenda on his page and actually saying, no, come on. And he wants to work with you. That's what it's all about. He wants to disciple with you and work with you. In order, that's why he did it with the disciples. Jesus did backflips when he heard the disciples come back and said, we delivered demons, we did this, we did that. And he was, woohoo, finally you're getting it. Finally. Because earlier when they were in the boat and it was sinking, Jesus, we're going to die, we're going to die. What did he say? How long do I have to stay with you guys for the penny to drop? Mm-hmm. They were seeing miracles every day. I am the resurrection. I can still the storm. I can raise the dead. I can do this. I can do that. I have done this. I have done that. And I have shown you time and time and time again, generation after generation after generation, God shows himself faithful to his people. Why? Because he wants you to be the head and he wants you to get other people into the kingdom before it's time to go home. That's what it's about. It's about the big picture. It's not about what the devil is trying to do. He's a liar. He's a loser. He's fighting his butt off to try and take as many people with him. But we have greater weaponry, greater ability, greater power through prayer, through Christ, through partnership, through anointing, through everything that we have that God has given us. So it's not of ourselves. It's actually of the Lord. And the Lord is using us in order to make sure that his kingdom gets extended. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's gospel truth. And God loves people. He loves you. He does not want you captivated. He does not want you entrenched in pain and suffering and frustration and being under constantly and being worn down by all this garbage and these lies. He wants you in a place of victory so that when people see you, they admire you for who Christ is in you. They see Christ in you, the hope of glory. They see something in you that is different to everything else that they've experienced. And they've said, what have you got? Because I want it. That's what I want. Last thing, just in closing. Use the word of the Spirit, the spoken word of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. When Satan confronted Jesus, he just simply said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Amen. It's no big rocket science. That sword you carry, this sword you carry, if you don't know this sword, it's going to be very difficult for you to use it. You need the word of God. You can go, I'm usually talking to prisoners, but people who operate in a position where they think as a person they can take the devil on, it's like stepping into a ring with Mike Tyson. You are going to last 5 seconds. It's going to be lights out. You'll wake up with a crowd around you if you wake up. Mm-hmm. The devil will take you down every single time. He knows this better than you do and that I do. He's been around for thousands of years. He knows the score. And he tried it on with Jesus, and Jesus just stuck to the script. Just keep to the script. Just stay. Don't go outside the script. No, devil, you're a liar. This is what my word says. My word is Jesus. He's my best mate. You're the liar. You're the loser. Now get out of here. I'm speaking this truth, and I'm going to get people free. And I'm going to get myself free because I'm spending time with the Lord, and it's a win-win situation. And the thing is, the devil wants to keep you from this book. The reason he wants to keep you from this book is because the least amount that you know or that you learn, the least effective you're going to be. Sin will keep you from this book, but this book will keep you from sin, is what I've got on the inside. Amen. Sin will keep you from this book, but this book will keep you from sin. This is Jesus, the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Everything about what we do, who we are, where we're going, and how it happens is about him. It's about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The fact that we're successful, the fact that we're going places, the fact that we're getting healed and delivered, and we're seeing other people getting healed and delivered, it's all about Jesus. Our life is committed and should be committed to Jesus. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Do we have problems? Yes. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to be devoid of problems. But actually, you're going to have the problem healer and deliverer right there with you in the midst of the storm. And when people see you, when people in my work environment see the pressure coming on, see stuff, and they see that I'm actually cruising, and they're thinking, how come Richard's so laid back? How come he's so happy? Why is this happening? Why is that? Incidentally, I'm not always like that. But they do notice, because they are watching. And they'll say, what is it? And I'll say, mate, I'm praying. Oh, Rich, can you do us a favor? Say one for me, mate. Do one for me. They recognize we are in a time in this generation where the devil is turning up the heat. But the heat of Jesus Christ is a far, far hotter heat. The power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we need to make sure that we stay focused, we stay on track, we stay with our Lord, and we make sure that we enforce the defeat on the devil. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.